as I was taking my walk this morning, listening to the book of Joel, you can listen to the Bible on your phone at Bible Gateway. You can just put on verses and there's a guy talking it. So even as I was listening this morning to Jonah, some new thoughts came into my head. And how many times have I listened to the book of Jonah? Quite a bit. But this morning, a new thought popped into my head. And it's like, that's why the Word of God is so awesome, because you can read it one time and get something. You can read the exact thing and get something else. That's why it never gets old. And that's why we should read our Bibles. Because God might be telling you something one day, and not that it's not, the other thing's not true. Right? It's true. The whole thing is true. But hopefully, you know, we hear from the Holy Spirit, because that's how we get the truth, right? That's how we get the truth. So let's get into it. Let's get into it, because time is flying. And like I said, if you know some of these stories, it will be helpful. So if you've never heard the story of Jonah, here is an overview. And I just picked out 8 points. There's way more to it than that. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach against it. Number two, Jonah ran, and he sailed the totally opposite way, not obeying God. Do you remember last week when Brody was here? Do you remember Brody's dad, David? David told me that Tarshish, where Jonah ran to, was the complete opposite direction as far as the civilization was at that point. So Jonah just didn't run to Cambria, Frieson, whatever. He went as far as you could go. So he was trying to get away from God. David told me that. I hope that's the truth. You can find out for yourself. I didn't get that out of the Bible. God provided a great fish. And what do we all think it was? A whale? The Bible says fish, because we want to speak the truth here. Now, maybe that was a whale. I don't know. Maybe it was a thing that swam in the water, which a whale does. I don't know. If anyone knows that answer, I'd be interested on that discussion. Was it a whale? I don't know. The Bible says fish, so that's what we're going to go with. God provided a great fish and swallowed Jonah. And after the sailors on board threw Jonah overboard. Number four, Jonah prayed. God saved Jonah's life. Jonah obeyed the second time and went to Nineveh. Nineveh totally repented from the least to the greatest. And Jonah was angry, and God did not bring the destruction that he had threatened. You know, when we all hear the story of Jonah in Sunday school, when we're, you know, 7, 8 years old, we just hear about the fish, and then, you know, we don't hear the rest of it. There's so much profound stuff in chapter 3 and 4 that, guys, go home and read it for yourself. Because like I said, if I don't hit it, you guys, go home and read it for yourself, see what God's telling you. Okay, some of these questions will be rhetorical, aware what that means is, even though I'm a painter, I know what that means. We don't want the answers to. We're just asking the questions. Remember, these are getting you to think. We're going to bring up a verse, and then we're going to ask a question about that verse. Okay? Some of the things, like I said, if you want to speak up and have a discussion about it, that's okay. So, the story itself, let's get into the word now. In verse 2, it says, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." I was thinking, is there a city that I wouldn't go to? Is there a city that I wouldn't go to preach the word? Like a rival in basketball? Would I go there? Interestingly, this popped into my head when we used to do a Bible basketball camp. I actually went to CWC and asked if I could come and teach them how to practice basketball and then give them a message. And so I did that, actually. So I actually went to CWC and did that. So I consider them a huge rival. I don't know why. Why do we consider CW? Maybe it's because one of their guys stepped on one of our guys one time. These guys know what I'm talking about. Is there a place that you wouldn't go? It's a question for you. Remember, these are all meant to get us to think. What was Nineveh like? Why did he not want to go? Why did Jonah not want to go? Now, these are from the internet. I didn't get this out of the Bible, okay? These are from the internet. It was built along the Tigris River in modern-day Mosul, Iraq. That's just facts. One of the wealthiest cities in the ancient world. They were known for their barbaric ways. They supposedly did child sacrifices. Okay, so I don't know if I would want to go to a spot where, you know, my enemies, my sworn enemies, they were a sworn enemy of Israel. And if you read about Assyria, the kingdom of Assyria, which the capital at its height was Nineveh, right? King Sennacherib, he was running around conquering places, right? Why would Jonah want to go there? Why would Jonah want to go there? And Sennacherib ends up dying. You can read the story in 2 Kings. I believe it's 17, 18, or 19, around there. But they were very barbaric. There's young kids here, but they would skin people alive and put the skins on the outside of their wall to show, you know, their power and don't mess with us and whatever else they're trying to show. So they were very barbaric. So why would Jonah want to go there? I think I would run the other way too, to be honest. So that's a little bit about Nineveh. And so we'll get into that a little bit later. So verse 2 again, it said, its wickedness has come up against me. Since the start of Nineveh, how long did it take for their wickedness to come up to God? Was it a week? Was it 10 days? Was it a month? Was it a century? The fact that the wickedness came up before God eventually shows God's patience, because he could have wiped them out right away. But God in his patience, and we're going to hopefully bring out why he did that, why God did that, and I have 10 minutes to do the rest of this thing. But that's why I have 20 questions, whatever. We don't have to get to them all. We're just going to get to a few questions. But the goal, guys, is to get you to think about it and maybe take something home and think about it over this week. That's the only goal. If I don't get to it all, I don't get to it all. Verse 3, it says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. So I stand up here and, you know, we lead the youth group. I lead the youth group, whatever, right? So you might think that I have it all down, that I'm just this great evangelist, whatever. How many times has God came to me and said, I want you to do this, and I totally ran the other way? And how many times have you guys read the Great Commission and not done anything about it? You know, we all do it. We all do it. I've ran from God so far and so fast and so hard. I am just like Jonah. In some ways, we get it right. And in some ways, you guys get it right. What was the outcome of my running? Probably all kinds of bad. All right, I'm going to skip that one. I'm going to skip all that. Verse 5. This one, this is my sense of humor. Maybe not. Maybe it's not funny at all. In verse 5, it said, all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own god, small g. So how long did it take for their small gods to arrive and fix everything? They didn't, did they? No. They these guys, and you can picture these guys, you know, whatever their god is, blah, 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 Baal, you know, come and save us, you know. None of them showed up, did they? But God showed up. Verse 5. They threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. How often do we think our our work is going to save things. How often do we think what we do is going to save things? They were using physical effort to throw stuff out of the boat so that it wouldn't sink. And how often do we use our hard work to try and get things done, and it just goes totally wrong? Their hard work didn't save them at all. Okay, man's reasoning, it doesn't always work. They gave up the cargo. They gave up money. In Luke 5, when they were fishing, right, Jesus told them to do a certain thing, throw the nets in this area. And the guy goes, "We've worked hard all night and haven't caught in a thing." And so how often do we think that it's our hard work that gets things done? And Jesus says, "Hey, do this." And they had such a catch of fish that when God works, guys, that's the way it goes. I'm going to skip forward a little bit chapter 3, verse 5. The Ninevites believed God, it says. Verse 5. The Ninevites believed God, and they declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Remember what it means to believe God. Where other in the Bible can you think of where it said, and they believed God, and it was credited to them as righteousness? The Ninevites, the guys who were skinning people alive, the guys who were worshiping other gods, they believed our God. Shows you about a change that can happen. But in Romans 4:3 and in Genesis 15:6, in Genesis it's Abram, and in Romans it's Abraham. It's the same guy, right? It says Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So, remember, and another story that brings out righteousness being the saving thing is Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Sodom and Gomorrah, where God said, "I'm going to destroy them." And they said, "If there's 45 righteous, will you destroy?" He said, "Nope. If there's 40, there's 30, 20, got down to 10. If there's righteousness, they will not be destroyed." So Nineveh was credited with righteousness, and they weren't destroyed because they believed God. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, Jonah said a prayer. And while he was praying, he said a bunch of things. He said, "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs, but I with a song of thanksgiving." When he was thankful, in verse 9, he says, "I will sacrifice to you." So in verse 9, he was thankful and he sacrificed, but God didn't save him yet, did he? But right after he said the words, "What I have vowed, I will make good," salvation comes from the Lord. And then God saved him. So are we any different? Are we any different? When we acknowledge that salvation comes from the Lord and it's not something we conjure up, is that the point at which we're saved? That's just a question for you. That's just a question. I'm going to skip that one because we have to wrap up. Would Nineveh have repented without God's coming to them through the word of Jonah? Do we wake up one morning and just come to our senses when you were saved? Do we wake up and just come to our senses that, "Hey, I need Jesus"? I remember when I was 21, okay, in a world of sin, but I knew I needed something different. Now, is that when I was saved? I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think it was when God came to me, because in Romans 5:8, it says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I don't know what you think about that either, but I'm just raising these questions so we can think about it. But, I don't think God tells us to go anywhere and do anything before he prepares either our hearts, both our hearts and the hearts of the people we're talking to. Because there was one point in my life I had no interest in getting up here and talking about Jesus. Now I don't mind to do it. So did I just get smart? I don't think so. I think God prepared my heart, and I think God prepares the hearts. How did Nineveh go from being so sinful, so destructive, so awful, to totally repenting? I think that's a work of God. Because they were doing their own thing, and we were doing our own thing. And at some point, we wake up. Not that we go from there and are perfect, right? Because there's no perfection this side of heaven. I was wondering, these are questions that come up. God used Jonah for Nineveh. Now, who for you has God used to bring the Word of God to? Who has beautiful feet in your life? Hopefully for Jake, I was one of those people, hopefully. Who in your life has got beautiful feet? I believe, Norris, do you mind if I, was it your grandma that was praying for you all the time, did you think? Yeah, when we tell our people about Jesus, we might have a part in that plan. I'm just going to rapid fire these. How often do I think about telling people about God? Would that be different if what Jesus did for me would be at the forefront of my thinking? How many times has God actually asked me to tell someone about the good news of Jesus Christ and I didn't realize it? When I actually talk to kids about God, do I accurately convey the joy available to them having been saved? And Norris would refer to that as it's a celebration. But there is complete joy in having been saved. And how do I accurately convey that? And this one hurts. Do my actions at times hinder the Word of God going forward? And do my actions help the Word of God going forward when I get it right? Jonah prayed after he was swallowed. Do I only pray when I'm looking at a problem? For Jonah, it was a certain death. Do I only pray when I'm looking at a problem? I'll end with this. I got some questions in my phone, but it's done. So as we leave, I hope I've brought some questions to you that made you think, not accuse, because the accusing voice comes from Satan, and I would never accuse from here. Think about this. The truth of Scripture tells us that we all have a problem. And this is where the gospel comes in. The problem is sin. But God provided a way to deal with our sin because a just God, there has to be punishment that satisfies him. And that's where Jesus and the work that he has done on the cross comes in. There is a righteousness that gets credited to our account. And it's a perfect righteousness that satisfies God. And we got that through Jesus' blood on the cross. And the blood was shed and our sins were atoned for. That means the wrath that we deserved was put on Christ at the cross. And the question that we all have as we go here is this. Are you willing to tell those that God is completely concerned about? Because remember, he says we didn't get to it, but in the fourth chapter it says, I am greatly concerned about these people of Nineveh. And are you willing to tell those that God is concerned about the good news of God's grace provided by Jesus at the cross? So no matter if he asks you to go to Africa or if he asks you to go to Cambria, Friesland, or Random Lake, let's just look for ways to be willing to talk about it. Because it's the people that don't understand what we have, they can't have as much joy. They can't have as much joy. And that's why we want to go out and tell people that God cares about is the joy that's available to them, and that's why we would want to go out. So let's pray. Lord, you have asked us to do certain things. Lord, we've done it well at times, and other times, because of busyness, because of our own selfishness, Lord, we haven't done it what you've asked. Lord, we thank you for what you've done on the cross, and I pray that we can all look for ways to go out and tell people about you, because you are worth it. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.